continue to lift up the name of Jesus. There's a sweet presence of the Lord here today. Let's worship Him. Let's take a minute. Let's thank Him. Let's lift our voice. Lord, You are wonderful. God, You are faithful. You are an awesome God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. How many are thankful for what the Lord has done? How many are thankful for even this week? Maybe there were things that you knew about, things that came up, but you felt like the Lord has had His hand on you. How many are thankful for that today? Let's give Him praise one more time. Let's lift Him up one more time. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is here today. And the sweet Spirit of God is so faithful to be with His people. And I thank God for what we're feeling here today. Amen. It's the power of God. Praise God. And it's easy to take it for granted. And then we get away for a while, and then we get back into the flow, and you say, man, God is good. God is good. God is faithful. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. Praise God. Anybody thankful for the goodness of the Lord? I don't know, I just can't get away from this today. We serve a good God. He's good. Folks, I know if you're living with somebody that got Limburger cheese on their mustache and all that, everything's nasty and stinky. But you know what? I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that encourages, that lifts us up, that directs us. Praise God. Amen. What an honor it is to be here today. So glad to be with you all here at APC. And we do want to give honor to Brother Williford, Sister Williford, and we do extend our condolences to them. I know they're traveling and with family right now, and we just pray the Lord will be with them, strengthen them, encourage this family. But I'm so thankful for people like Brother Williford that believed in me, and this church believes in people. Thank God for that. They believed in all y'all out here. Praise God. And that's part of what the body of Christ does, isn't it? We believe in people. We trust that God is moving and ministering in their lives. And I thank God for people like Brother Williford that are so kind. He's been so kind to me over the years, has always encouraged me, always has a smile. He said, Brother Jacob, it's good to see you. And I like that. I like that about Brother Williford. And this family is so wonderful. Thank you, Brother Reaver, for your kindness, hospitality to my family. Appreciate the Reaver family, all those that are working so hard. Brother Brad up here singing away. If I had a voice like that, I'd be in Vegas. Praise God. But fortunately, the Lord didn't let me get that. Amen. He gave me other voices, but He didn't give me that one. Praise God. Oh, appreciate all the ministries of this church, the spas, Sister Amber helping us, Sister old Bible school friends, Sister Christy taking care of our hotel, all these things. And good to see my Aunt Diane here. And I don't know, I thought maybe she designed this with her tambourines here. I didn't know if she etched them out or what was going on here. Praise God. I'm teasing. I love Sister Diane. Amen. But it's good to be here today with all of you, all of our friends, everybody that's been so faithful to the things of God. And as Brother Reaver mentioned, we are Metro Missionaries going to Greater Minneapolis, Minnesota. How many have ever been to Minnesota before? All right, a few of you. Minneapolis, okay, great. Praise God. And my family's with me today. I'm glad to have my wife, Christina. We've been married for 14 years. Glad to have her with me. My son, Landon, is here, 12 years old. And my daughter, Elena, 9. And my baby girl, Anissa, 21 months old. And when we first started out, we started out almost a year ago, the end of December. It was a year ago, the end of December. And we started in Minnesota. We drove across all the plains of North Dakota, Idaho, Montana, and made it over to Washington State, went up into British Columbia, put on 50,000 miles on our van, had a 9-month-old baby going over the snow-capped mountains. I told my wife, I said, you know, if the temperature drops by 4 degrees in the next 5 minutes, we're in trouble, but that's not going to happen. And in the next 5 minutes, the temperature dropped 4 degrees, started snowing, and here we are driving our Toyota minivan, praise God, but it was packed down, hallelujah. But God's been faithful, amen? God's been faithful to us. We thank God for this opportunity to go to Greater Minneapolis and plant a church and do the work that God's called us to do. And I have a video I'd like to show at this time to talk to you a little bit about Minneapolis and introduce our burden.
My name is Jacob Tapia, and I'm a Metro missionary to the beautiful area called the Greater Minneapolis Metro. And in the midst of this beautiful city is a great need. The metro area in Minneapolis is home to more than 3.5 million people, and it's expected to grow by more than 300,000 in the next 10 years. It is a city where 23% of the constituents say that they have no religious affiliation. That's close to 1 million people. There's a great need in this city. Our burden is to spread the gospel into the greater Minneapolis metro area. We have a vision to raise up an apostolic disciple-making church that will reach the lost, disciple believers, plant churches, and train leaders for ministry. Would you join with us in our burden? Here's a couple ways you can join us. First of all, join us in prayer. Help us intercede for this city, like Jesus interceded for Jerusalem. Secondly, we ask that you'd partner with us financially. Your one-time donation or monthly commitment will help us to get back on site and do the work that God has called us to do. We're asking God to give us partners and fellow laborers to reach this harvest field.
Help us plant the church in greater Minneapolis.
Amen. That's where we're headed, greater Minneapolis. Praise God. And we're so excited to be doing this. And some of you say, well, you know, Brother Tapia, don't you know that it's difficult to start a church in a metro area? Don't you know that these communities are just overrun with liberal ideologies? And don't you know that there's chaos and disorder? Don't you know that there's political diversity and there's people? You know what, folks? I know that. I've seen the news reports. I've visited some places. I've been in some areas where there were some rough spots. Amen. I remember standing at the George Floyd Memorial, and I went there to visit there. I just wanted to see the place, and I saw the murals that had been painted on the side of the building. I saw the flowers that had been laid out. I saw the statues that had been put up. I saw the burned out buildings and the gas station that had been destroyed by fire. I saw the businesses that were closed. And I saw the place where George Floyd so tragically died, and they had painted an outline on the street of his body, where his body had laid. And I stood at that spot, and I wept, and I thought about the scripture that Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I thought about the darkness that had been in that area and how Satan wants to divide families and divide homes and bring death and destruction. But as I stood at that spot, I was reminded, Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. And you know, as I was standing there in this area, this place where a tragedy had occurred, where so much just terrible things had happened, I heard across the way there was some gospel music playing, and I looked over, and just several feet away from where this man so tragically died, there was a little mission, and they had closed down their services, but they had taken their ministry into the streets, and they had little tents set up, and they were feeding people. They had a grill going. They had gospel music playing. They were giving away food and clothing, and they were ministering. And during the height of the protesting and the riots that were happening, they had a baptismal tank, and they were baptizing people in the name of Jesus. What am I trying to say? I know it's dark. I know there's darkness everywhere. But my Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God knows how to raise up a church. God knows how to raise and exalt His name even in the midst of darkness. So I'm asking you to go with us as we go into this place, as we go into this city, that pray with us that God will help us to know where to go, to know who to talk to. But also we're asking you to give, to support us, to help us. And this church is so graciously committed to partnering with us, and we thank you for that. If you want to contribute to that, talk to your pastor. You can go to our our website, MinneapolisMissions.org. But we're asking you to go with us, to be a part of what God is going to do. I really feel like God's going to help us to raise up a training center where we can send people out into the harvest. You know, Minneapolis is home to more than 60,000 Spanish-speaking people, more than 14,000 that speak the Hmong language. God is bringing the nations of the world into our major cities. And I believe that God's going to help us to reach those nations and send them back to their families, send them back to their homes, maybe places where we can't go ourselves, but God can open the doors. If you believe that, would you clap your hands and thank God for what He's going to do in Greater Minneapolis? Praise God. Stand with me if you would. I want to go quickly to the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. And again, what a joy it is to be with all of you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your worship and your love for the Lord. And in this particular passage, Jesus is talking about prayer. He's talking about seeking after God, asking God for our needs, to provide for our life, to give us everything that we need. And he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And I want to preach to you for a little while from this subject. Now, they said I could preach till 2, but you're leaving at 12:30, so I'll keep that in mind. That was a joke, folks, all right? But I want to preach to you for a little while from this subject. It's time to ask. It is time to ask. Can we pray together? Let's ask God to just speak to our hearts in the remainder of our time together. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for all that's happened here today. Thank you for your people that have gathered in this place. Be with us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, asking is risky. Now, I'm sure you worked a secular job and you've maybe complained about your salary to your friends. Maybe you haven't. I have. Just, I'm worth more than this. You ever said that to someone? And then they turn around and they say, well, just, you know, go on in there. Go on into the boss's office. Go on in and you ask your boss for a raise. And what do? You just kind of say, oh, yeah, no, well, I think I'm all right. You know, it's fine. Yes. It's risky. It could go either way. You could go in there and he said, oh, you know what? You're the most amazing employee we have. Why didn't I think of this before? Come on, a $20 raise. Here you go. Or they could say, you don't like it? You don't want to be working for me? What do you want to do? Get on out. It's risky. It's risky to ask. Y'all, oh, hallelujah. Some of us, even in our own lives, when maybe if you felt maybe abandoned or neglected, maybe in your life you didn't feel like you were worth anything, or you felt like nobody cared about you, and maybe it's hard even to ask for simple things, maybe even because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that someone's going to say, get out of here. You know, you're ugly, stupid, and we don't want you around here. We can face, those are real fears, rejection. But you know, Jesus is talking to people and he's trying to convince them in this passage that God wants to give you the power of his Spirit. That if you will come to God and seek him and ask him, that God wants to bless you. Now we think in our day and age, we don't really understand all that the text is talking about because we live in the 21st century. We see our fathers, we see the people that we live with, and we see them, we see their flaws, we see their faults, and in our North American culture, we've kind of passed on this machismo, you know, last time I cried was in 1973, you know, I'm tough as nails, and maybe you were raised by somebody that was their feeling. You know, they just, you know, my dad, he was Bolivian, grew up in the Bolivian, went to the Bolivian army. You know, he was a tough guy, and he'd say, Duke. He always called me Duke. I don't know why. Maybe you got it from John. I tell you what, Bill. Anyway, you don't know who that is either. But he'd say, Duke, stand up straight. Be a man. I was like, oh, I'm a man. He'd say, eat with all your might. I was one of those kids, right? I was one of those kids. But you know, sometimes we can get a picture of a father who is distant. Father who's just not there, who's not involved, who's not connected. But the father that Jesus wanted us to get a relationship with is a father who is always available. A father who is affectionate. A father who, when we call out to him, he is there pouring out his love and his blessing, his encouragement in our lives. That's the God that I have encountered. That's the God that I know today. That's the God that I've experienced. A God who is faithful. A God who is present. A God who is with us. Who said, Jesus himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to know that's the kind of father that we are serving today, a father who is present, a father who wants to pour out his blessings upon us. And so when we come to God, sometimes we come to God, and we should come to God in faith, not in fear, not in doubt, saying, well, I just don't know if God can do it. I just don't know. I had a friend one time, I was doing a nursing home ministry, and I would go with him. I said, I called his name, I said, let's believe God for something miraculous today. Let's believe God for somebody to get healed. Let's believe God for somebody to get up out of their wheelchair. He said, what if they don't want to get up out of their wheelchair? I said, you spirit of doubt. You know, no. He wasn't too sure what we were asking for. He wasn't even convinced it was going to happen. But Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, without conviction in your heart, it is impossible to please him or to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe he exists. You've got to believe there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what? When you come to God, you can't come to him just saying, well, yeah, maybe, I don't know. You need to come to God saying, I know there's a God, and I know that God's going to answer my prayer. Why are you praying here again? Because I know that God is going to hear my prayer. Why do you keep seeking God? You know what? There's people, sometimes they'll come to the front and pray, and you know what? In my doubt, in my humanity, sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, there they go again. They've been praying so much. But you know what? There's a hunger in their heart. I want to see God do a miraculous work. I want to see God do a miracle in my life. That's how we pray. We pray with faith. We pray with confidence. We pray with boldness. It comes from a conviction that I can have whatever I ask for. You know, we had an evangelist one time that came to our church, and you know, he wasn't one of those kind of beady-eyed prophet guys, you know, that everybody stays home when they come, you know. Did I just say that? Oh, Lord, help me. Last time preaching here at APC. Praise God. All right. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. Don't stay. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. We'll move on. We'll move beyond that. All right. Edit the tape. But he said something. He said, how many of you believe God, that God could give you $100,000? Oh, and I lifted my hand. Hey. And then he said, how many of you have asked God for $100,000. Yeah. Not me. But he said the problem is not with God's resources. The problem is with our mentality, our understanding. The problem is in us. We can ask him for great things. Some of us need to get a bigger mentality of God. We need to start magnifying God a little more. When you start praying, you say, oh, God, I know you created the heavens. God, I know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. God, I know that you're a big God, and my situation is not so great compared to the glory and the splendor and the majesty of who you are. My friend, it's time for us to understand we serve an awesome God. We serve a big God. We serve a mighty God. He has everything that you need. He has all the supply that you need. Whatever it is, you can ask God for it, and God can provide it for you. Praise God. Let's clap our hands and thank God for that today. Come on, somebody, get it in your heart. We serve an awesome God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, those fathers in Bible times, they were very affectionate. You remember the story of the prodigal son. When that prodigal son came home, the father didn't just say, well, hello, son. Good to see you, son. Welcome back home. Here's your room. We kept it. No, the Bible says he ran to his son. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. He was crying for joy. Hey, get a party. Throw a party. Let's have a good time. We don't want to get too emotional here. But you know what? That's the picture of the father. He is affectionate. Whoa, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my kid. Ha! You know those parents, right? You know those parents? You have the Christmas program. Little kids out there singing off key. And was their mom and dad just down there in the front row taking pictures, you know, getting in everybody's way, you know, hey, oh, sorry, that's my baby up there. You know, that's how God feels about you. Did you know that how God loves you? That's my daughter. That's my child. And so, well, Lord, look at me. I got all these kind of mistakes. I got all these problems in my life. You know, Mahaney said, I don't know if you remember Charlie Mahaney, old evangelist, we were so poor growing up, somebody broke into our house and we mugged him. Hallelujah. He said, I was so ugly growing up. One time I went into haunted house and came out with an application. Hallelujah. Folks, you've never been there, but I've been there. Saying, God, look at me. Look at my life. Look at the mistakes I've made. Look at the failures. And yet God says, I love you. Ask me. Come on. Ask me for my power. Ask me for my strength. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to pour out my presence in your life. Praise God. Too many times we think we are rejected. We need to understand that God has created us and he has a purpose and a plan for us. And some of us need to practice Hebrews 4:16 that says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's time to pray like we're children. It's time to pray like we are sons. It's time to pray like we are bold before God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, I know we serve an awesome God. I know that God has a plan for our lives. I was preaching at a service one time, and there was a young man that was in that service. His name was Andrew. And I was talking about some of these same things I'm talking about today. And I remember after that service, he got up out of his chair and walked down to the front and just lifted up his hands and began to praise God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, this guy, he hadn't been raised in church. He didn't have a background in Pentecost, but he had a hunger for God. He had a desire. He went to the Father and he said, Lord, I want the power of your Spirit. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I talked to him. I said, Andrew, what's going on? What was going on in your mind? He said, you know what? I just felt like it was my time. I felt like God wanted to do it in my life. He went to the front and began to ask God and seek after God. Folks, it doesn't take a lot for you to ask God for something. And when you ask God, you'll find that he's ready to fill you. He's ready to pour out his Spirit upon you. He's ready to do it in your life. If we'll simply ask, if we'll simply request, if we'll simply desire it from God. He wants to pour out his Spirit. You know, I appreciate Brother Williford, and I know he's not here today. I just appreciate him so much. He's such a warm person, such a friendly person. And I know that he is a person who's spiritual. He's always seeking God. That's one thing I appreciate about him. He's a very spiritual person. I remember the time he had everybody up on these, he had his wife and his daughters up on these rocks. He had over at 13th and Gravel, and he was talking about how he put them on the altar, and constantly seeking God. And I remember the time we were at AP 13th and Gravoy, and Brother Vassal was there. Anybody remember Brother Vassal? And he was sitting over here on the corner. Brother Williford, he's just pumped up. He was one of those services. He said, Brother Vassal, he said, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. Brother Vassal, you know, kind of higher pitched voice, he said, I got the Holy Ghost, Brother Williford. Brother Williford said, well, I've got it too. He said, but I want what you have. What was he trying to say? I want that passion. I want that zeal. I want that desire. Brother Vassal, whatever you've got a hold of, that desire for more of God, that's what I want. I thank God for leaders like Brother Williford, but I wish it would get inside of us that said, I want whatever God has for me. I want more of God in my life. I want to be closer to God than I was last year. I want more of God in my life. Some of us need to seek God for a fresh touch of the Spirit.
Some of you, maybe it's been a while since you've been renewed in the Spirit, but I believe God wants to do it this morning. I believe in the next few minutes, I'm almost through. I really believe God wants to just refill somebody. Maybe speak a word of encouragement into somebody's heart. Maybe just come alongside you. That's what the Spirit is, isn't it? It's our helper. It's our comforter. Some of you have been through some dark times, but the Lord is saying, I'm with you. I'm here. Call out to me. Seek after me. I want to find you and give you a strengthening touch today. Amen. How many know what the Lord, that the Lord can just meet us wherever we are? You know, we get into some places in our lives and sometimes that voice comes that it's hopeless, give up, just throw in the towel. But I thank God that He knows how to meet us where we are. If we'll just ask Him, God, I need you. Lord, I need a touch of your Spirit. Lord, I need more of you. God, I just want you to flow through me. Does somebody feel that today? Are you feeling that prayer? Is there something burning in your heart that says, God, flow through me. God, do the work in my life. I was preaching in Kansas City. There was a young man. He began to tell me his story. His name was Jared. He said, you know, he said, I grew up in a home, he said, where it was a very, very dysfunctional home. He said, my father abandoned our family, my mother and I. He said, I never knew my dad. He said, I talked to him one time on the phone. I only saw him one time in my life. He said, my father was never there for me. He said, I never had a relationship with him. He said, and my mother was an alcoholic. She would just lay on the couch. She was disabled and had disability, and she would just lay on the couch all day long, just watch TV. He said, I didn't have anything in my life. And at 14 years of age, he became an alcoholic. He was just trying to get rid of the depression, the discouragement in his life. He said, at 18, he said, I was just totally into drugs and alcohol. He said, I was so broken. He said, I got to a point where I was an atheist. Here's what he said. He said, this was my thinking. How could a loving God allow these things to happen in my life? He'd been abused as a child. He had so much horrible things happen to him. He said, you know, when I got to a point, I was discouraged. I just had nothing to live for. He said, I told myself, he said, I'm going to go out in the field. He said, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to just kill myself. It's over. I'm done. I don't have anything to live for. My life is just broken. He said, but before I do that, he said, I'm going to go to church one last time. He said, if I don't feel God in that service, he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to end my life. And that Saturday, a young lady, an apostolic lady from his school, invited him to come to Brother Gleason's church in Kansas City. He said, folks, we don't know where people are, do we? You never know where people are in their lives. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. He said, I walked into that service. He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, some lady was running the aisle screaming, shouting. He said, I thought these people were crazy. He said, but I felt God in that place. Just a couple of weeks later, he was baptized in the name of Jesus, and he received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You know where that young man is today? God changed his life, totally turned him around. He's married. He's got a beautiful wife. They've got a little baby, and he's out. He's going to be planting a church, doing a great work for God, sharing the gospel. What am I trying to say by telling that? Here's what I'm trying to say, that if you will reach out for God, if there's something in your heart that can just say, God, I need you. God, I'm in the darkest place of my life. God, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I'm not even sure there is a God. But if there's something, if there's somebody out there, will you touch my life? I want you to know you're going to find that God can reach you from wherever you are. God can find you wherever you are. There's nobody too broken that God cannot reach down and pick them up. There's nobody that's been too much and has too many scars in your life that God cannot say, I'll heal you. I'll change your life. I'll make you who you need to be. There's somebody, maybe you're saying, I'll never be loved. I'll never be normal. I'll never be perfect. I'll never be whole. The Lord is saying, try me. Just try me. Just ask and see what I can do in your life. I can take your brokenness and give you joy. Come on, if you found that to be true, lift a hand to the Lord right now. Come on, can anybody testify that He is a good God? Can anybody testify, I came to Him weary, worn, and sad, but He took my sins away. He changed my life. God has the supply. God has everything that we need. God has the Holy Spirit, the power of God's presence. Folks, sometimes God even wants to minister to our lives, even to heal some things in us. I was preaching in a church in Indiana one time, and my practice is I'll go around and I'll just pray for people. I'll just put my hand on the shoulder. I don't do that too much now with COVID anymore, you know. I've had it twice, but I don't know if I want it a third time. Praise God. But, you know, I was walking around praying, and I reached over and laid a hand on this lady's shoulder. And I said, Lord, would you help this sister to forgive somebody who's already dead? And I said that, and I was like, I could have punched myself in the face. You know, hallelujah, what are you doing, you fool? You know, I was thinking, why did you just say that? That's crazy. But I felt like it was from the Lord. And after the service, this sister came up to me. She had kind of a weird look on her face, and she came up to me. She said, do I know you? I said, no, I introduced myself, Jacob Typhon. She said, has the pastor been talking to you about me? I said, no, I first time being here, I don't know anybody. He hadn't said anything. She said, because I haven't been able to forgive my father, and he's been dead for years. I said, well, sister, that's God talking to your life, saying it's time to let go of some things. It's time to release some things. It's time to open your heart and let His Spirit. It's time for the loving hand of the Father to rest upon you. And she lifted up her hands and began to weep under the presence of God and say, I forgive, I forgive, I release that, I release it in my life. Folks, I'm telling somebody here today that if you will call out to the Father, I don't care what it's been in your relationship with your earthly father, there is a heavenly Father today who is reaching for somebody and saying, I want to fill you. I want to flow through you. I want to change you. I want to turn your life around. I want to bring blessing into your life. Just ask me. Seek after me. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong right here today, folks. I feel like God, somebody can respond to the Lord right now. I wonder if we could just take a minute and lift our voice and just say, Lord, I need more of you. Come on, from the most seasoned saint. Maybe you've been here 30, 40 years since the beginning. From the newest person, maybe it's your first time. You can say, Lord, I need more of you. God, I need more of you. Lord, I want you to fill me with your power. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet right now. Hallelujah. Folks, all I'm trying to say here is that the power of God's Spirit is available if you'll just ask for it. God knows where we are. God knows what we're going through. And He has a plan for us. You know, as a teenager, I grew up. And, you know, I was kind of a sheltered kid. I thought everybody's apostolic. They had this record my aunt gave me or my parents. It said Golden Gospel Greats. And I used to try to sing like those guys. They had Roy Rogers. He's Jesus is a bridge. Oh, I don't know what key that's in. And it had Patsy Cline. I thought they were just struggling a little bit. You know, I didn't know they were. And I used to listen to Merle Ewing. Anybody ever heard of Merle Ewing? Said, just an old rejected relic. You don't know who that is. That's way too old. The Urchins sing, oh, praise the Lord, Gene. Let's sing a song. Well, what do you want to sing, baby? Anyway, that's just Urshan. I'd listen to old Lee Stone King. You remember Lee Stone King? He said, I want all of you beautiful people to know something here tonight. I don't like you, and you don't like me, but I don't care. I really don't care. Anyway, that's Lee Stone King. And then as I grew up, I came to Gateway, and I met some people like Travis Miller. You don't know who that is, but he said, let me tell you something, church. If you don't want to receive what this preacher's... Anyway, I better be careful here. I'm going to get a phone call or something. And Brother Brian Kinsey, hey, brother, you don't even understand what the Bible's going to be doing. You don't even want to understand. I used to love to impersonate people. I used to love it. I used to just enjoy laughing and having a good time. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just telling you folks, I enjoy having a good time. I love to listen to Charlie Mahaney. You know Charlie Mahaney? I did a little bit of his, you know, old evangelist. He said, hallelujah, this is Charlie Mahaney. He's like, I had kind of a rough childhood growing up, and I was four before I knew I had fingers, and my parents moved a lot, but I always found them. Hallelujah. He said, I was so ugly growing up, they were thinking of moving Halloween to my birthday. Hallelujah. His parents are sending their kids out looking like me. Hallelujah. He said, He said, one time I dated a girl. She wasn't too bright. She got stuck in an escalator for 3 hours and the power went out. And she hated to eat M&Ms because they were so hard to peel. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, we need the presence of God in our lives. We can't do this on our own. We cannot fulfill the things that we need in our lives without the hand of God. You know what I appreciate about some of my apostolic people that have gone on before is they had a passion to see the work of God done. They had I'm not giving up attitude. That's why they're so revered. They went all over. They traveled. They did the things of God. And we may not be able to measure up to some of those things, but you know what? Every one of us can have confidence in God. Every one of us can do the work that God has called us to do. And so here's what all I'm asking you to do today is to seek after God for just a few minutes. We're going to close. I'm done. I've been all over the place today, folks. You can tell I'm feeling good. I'm ready for a vacation. Praise God. Amen. But you know what? I feel like God's talking to somebody today. Maybe through some of this. We just kind of been weeding through stuff here. But God's speaking to somebody. It's time to let go of some things in your life. There's some of you here today. You need a refreshing of the Spirit. You need, and while we're going to pray here in just a minute, you're going to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel it strong here right now. Maybe you've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues. I would encourage you to lift your hands to the Lord and begin to worship God. Begin to praise Him. Allow His Spirit to flow through you. Maybe there's some children here that need to receive the Holy Ghost. You parents, lay a hand on them. Let's pray together. Let's take a few minutes here. Let's just seek the Lord. Some of you, God's going to give you direction right now. Some of you need direction in your job, in your future, in your finances. Right now, God's going to, let's ask Him. Let's seek Him right now. Some young person, you need to ask God for your future, to give you direction for your career. Let's seek the Lord right now. Can we do that? Let's talk to the Lord. I see families connected together. I see people praying and seeking the Lord. Come on, that's it, young people. That's it, children. That's it, moms and dads. Let's allow the Holy Ghost to move. Let's allow the Spirit of God to have His way right now. In the name of Jesus.